You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's the kind of basketball we want to play, you know, and that's the level that I'm going to hold the guys to. 34 assists, the ball movement, the player movement, that's who we are. And I thought the balance was much better tonight between playing in that kind of environment and playing in pick and rolls and called plays. And, you know, you couple that with the defense off of a back-to-back. You know, to hold a team like that under 100 points says a lot about the resiliency of our guys. But at the same time, we have to pack that in our suitcases and take it with us everywhere we go. That's the deal.
That was Suns head coach Monty Williams talking about the Suns' 114-93 victory, which is what we are talking about here on this post-game edition of Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I am your host, Brendan Kleen. You can follow our show on Twitter and on Instagram at Locked On PHX Suns, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brendan Kleen 14. Again, a 114-93 victory by the Phoenix Suns to put them back over 500 and bounce back after three straight losses. The Suns, as a team, assisted on 34 of their 41 made shots, got to the free throw line 23 times, and looked like themselves on offense. A game where, without Devin Booker and Chris Paul not doing even what he did last night, the Suns were able to put together a victory. Everyone in the starting lineup scored in double digits, as well as seven players total, with Kaminsky and Nader coming off the bench to do it as well. A lot of people, I think, are going to point to the fourth quarter barrage that we saw when Nader started to hit threes and Kaminsky was dishing the ball around. But the stretch that I think really cemented things for the Suns was late in the third quarter. They actually went into the fourth quarter with a 14-point lead up 85-71. So you look at it, and it's this stretch from Andrew Wiggins hits a two-point shot with 2 minutes and 23 seconds left to bring the lead back within 10. The Suns have been up, and you know it was a slow build of the lead, 12, then down to 8. Then Wiggins hits that too. And from there, the Suns go on a 6-2 run to close things out. And it really just put the game away. Mikal Bridges hits a couple free throws. Wiggins makes a dunk. That's the last bucket at 123 that the Warriors will score. And then most importantly, you saw the Suns getting to the basket. Another Nader layup after the free throws that Bridges had made. And then a layup from Bridges in what became a really, really interesting, surprising two-man game that really kept the Suns' offense afloat during much of this game, which was Frank Kaminsky and Mikal Bridges. Those two actually both impacted this game as a playmaker, but were also supporting one another. Bridges got back to the elite cutting that we've seen from him. That seemed to be brought along by the presence of Frank. You know, we haven't seen Dario Saric in this lineup much at all between his injury to start the season and now his absence with COVID, and he's working his way back into the conditioning that he needs to be in. He's been on the Suns' bench at least the past couple of games, but a frustrating start there. But you see what it does when Kaminsky is able to fill that void. He finishes with a near triple-double. Mikal Bridges had 5 assists of his own. Both of those guys scored in double figures. Mikal leads the team tonight with 20 points. Those guys were probably the two primary players who stepped up in the absence of Booker. Nader got off to a cold start. I believe he started 0 of 5 from the field and ended up leading the team in field goal attempts. But it was ball movement. It was a little bit more player movement with guys like Bridges cutting, Nader getting to the basket a little bit more. And it was less reliant on jump shots. Overall, those 23 free throw attempts, the ball movement, they played with better pace, even if maybe the tempo, you know, the possessions in this game, I don't know what the numbers say as far as that goes, but I think we can all say, as people who watch this game, they played with the proper tempo. And then you see the tires just started to fall off here. The wheels fell off where, you know, it's not only that the Suns scored better, but you see when that starts to stack up, you score, the other team's not able to get out in transition. The other team's not able to maybe establish their rhythm. They're scoring against your set defense. And I think that's really what we saw from this game, where the Warriors thrive in those chaotic moments, those scrambled moments when there's a fast break and nobody finds Steph and all of a sudden he gets a couple threes that way. Or, you know, Draymond just rams the ball down the middle of the lane and kicks out to somebody and they score. And then you're kind of backpedaling, you're unsure, and then they get a couple of those on you and suddenly their lead's double digits or your lead is gone. The Suns didn't allow the Warriors to do that. And that end of third quarter streak where the Suns are just getting to the basket with their bench players and the Warriors are not able to answer, I think encapsulates that. And so I don't know if this was an amazing defensive performance. I mean, they allowed Curry to score 27 on just 20 shot attempts. You know, their ball movement wasn't what they like it to be, but you really just saw Wiseman and Kelly Oubre in his return to Phoenix, as well as Draymond Green, who is just not much of a scorer at this point in his career. Those guys were just missing. But I don't think the Warriors were quieted. I think you just see when you can diversify your offense, when you can get good shots, get efficient shots, and not rely on threes, which also, you know, we know can bounce in all sorts of directions off the rebound. They can have long rebounds. It just doesn't bode well for controlling the pace of the game when you are so reliant on the three. Suns only took 32, and I'm going to get into this next segment here, why I think the system is not the problem. So don't get me wrong. It's not that they should not take threes. It's that you need to balance things. If you take 43s, that's fine, but you need to balance that by getting to the free throw line, by moving the ball, by playing in transition more often, because you can't be too predictable and you can't allow the opposing defense to take control of the game from you by getting rebounds, turning that into fast break buckets the other way, or turning you over when you're trying to force things off of a switch. So many of what we've seen from this offense during this three-game losing streak, a lot of it went away tonight. And that's without Devin Booker. That's with Chris Paul only playing 27 minutes. And that's with a relatively quiet offensive night from DeAndre Ayton, who was more aggressive, but had a little bit of foul trouble, only played 23 minutes and had 5 turnovers of himself. So it's not as if somebody came in and just overpowered and put this team on their back. This felt like a collective effort of a group of guys who really were not going to be content rolling over again the way that they did against Oklahoma City. They controlled this game from the jump, got out to a 7-point lead that never went away. That's what you need to do against teams that you are more talented than, and that's how you need to answer for losses that you shouldn't have given up. I want to break down why I, like I said, think that the system's not the problem, that is getting it wrong when we look at this team. But before that, I want to tell you about the first sponsor of our show, which is Bet Online. And let me tell you guys, even letting you know about what this winter and spring have in store for us as sports fans is exciting every day. I love the Super Bowl for all of the glitz and glamour that it brings. Even if it'll look a little different this year, that doesn't take away from all the betting opportunities, all the ways to enjoy it with the people around you. And then we have the Masters, which is the only golf tournament I watch, but I love it. Tiger's victory a couple years ago got me back in. I am here. And then as a Phoenician, I think we're all thinking toward the MLB season with spring training getting figured out here. So there's only one place that has you covered for all of it, every step of the way, every single day, and only one place that we trust here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is BetOnline.com. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, the name of our network, to let them know you came from us and snag your 50% welcome bonus. Head over to BetOnline for Super Bowl prop bets. How long does the national anthem take? Who fumbles first? Will there be a safety? All those fun ones that tend to flip every single year. The safety one happens way more than you would think. Think about that Ahmad Bradshaw play in the second Giants-Patriots game where he falls at the goal line, or different times throughout where the line changes, or guys mess with the line, and it's just the most random game. When you look at one football game, 60 minutes, anything can happen, and it makes the betting just fun. Don't put too much money on any one thing, but have some fun with it. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, back here, I want to walk you guys through why, and this is not Monty Williams homerism. I know folks who listen to this show know that I do have a ton of respect for Monty Williams, the way that he turned this program around. And even as a tactician, I think fans like to have the coach be the easy target in a lot of these situations and forget how excited they were in the bubble when this exact same type of scheme led to an 8-0 run and a lot of optimism heading into this season, as well as a 5-2 start to this season. But before I get into all of that, I want to remind you guys, check out Locked On Today. Peter Bukowski, who does the Packers show for us, but is an expert in all things sports, brings on the local experts to get you every single big story that day, catch you up on all the scores, and then closes the show out with the big debate. It's actually pretty nice. It's sort of a replacement for the stuff we might have with like the front office person, the front desk person at our office, or you know, the friend that you go to have lunch with. All those little conversations where you just shoot the crap about sports. It's not always there for us right now, and Peter does a great job of filling that void to close out every show with the cue of the day. As you can tell, I'm a big fan of the show. I think you guys will be too, so go check it out. But let's get to Monty. I think Frank Kaminsky actually had some good insight there where he said that you've seen some Jekyll and Hyde from this team, but that when they play the way that they did tonight, they can be really good. And Frank was there in the bubble. He didn't get on the court much, but you know, he saw the high highs that this team rose to last season, even with lesser talent. No Chris Paul, you know, Kelly off the court, injured during that bubble run, no Aaron Baines. We know the story, and they won with this scheme, with these principles in place, the 0.5 offense that Monty Williams has installed to great success. It works. And I think what I think gets lost in this is that maybe because it has a name or because he harps on it so much, I think a lot of the discussion online that I see and just the way that I feel like it gets misinterpreted is that it's very strict, that playing 0.5 offense means that somehow you are beholden to having to take a lot of threes, or that it doesn't, you know, necessarily allow for isolation scoring, or that it doesn't always bode well for like playing incredibly fast, that it settles into a half-court style. I don't think any of those things are true. I mean, you think the place that 0.5 scheme or philosophy more so came from is in the NBA. A lot of people point to the Spurs, and that team has looked almost completely different season to season based on its personnel, based on the development of the skills that its players have made, and you know, what sort of era they're in. Like, we saw a very Tim Duncan heavy team flood into a Tony Parker heavy team, and then a Kawhi Leonard team, and then a LaMarcus Aldridge team, and now this ragtag group of young wings that's pretty frisky this season. And all of that, through it all, they've kept the mentality of making quick decisions, moving the ball, not bogging the offense down. And whether that results in threes or whether it's DeMar DeRozan ball and you get a lot of mid-range jumpers and drives to the basket and maybe, you know, a more collective effort on the offensive end, that's all the same coach in San Antonio. That's a lot of the same personnel overlapping year to year. So I think that's how we should be thinking about this team. It's not that the cold stretch from three or the, you know, high turnover nights that we've seen or the low free throws, that those are like byproducts of this scheme. I actually think that a lot of the problems have come from when the Suns get out of it too much, when, you know, they're taking bad threes. Javon Carter is an example. He only played 3 minutes tonight after being a mainstay in the rotation most of the season. You saw Moore and Galloway both get 20-plus minutes, and Carter was relegated to the bench most of the night. That's because he took a ton of misguided three-pointers last night when Oklahoma City would switch or early in the clock just to get a shot off. And you saw Jay Crowder, a guy who takes a lot of bad shots, I think, early in the clock sometimes to get in his own rhythm. He's a guy that's earned that a little bit in the league. Like, he's been on great teams and he understands his role, but there's some times when he does that. He took too many shots against Oklahoma City. He only takes 8 tonight and gets to the foul line. Those guys, you know, are going outside of things. That's when you run into problems. We've seen, think back to the Kings game when, you know, early in the season, that first weekend of the season, the Suns are forcing the ball to DeAndre Ayton and asking him to do way more than he's capable of. And they lose, they lose one of those and nearly lose a second one. We see against Denver, they turn the ball over time and again, trying to feed the ball to like Frank Kaminsky or Mikal Bridges and different guys just because there's a mismatch there, and they fail. So those are the mistakes. And the other big problem that's facing the Suns right now that's not related to this scheme is the lack of a penetrator, especially it's going to be worse and look worse with Booker and Payne, Cam Payne, both off the court with injuries, left hamstring strain for Booker and the right foot sprain or left hamstring strain. And then it's a sprain on Cam Payne's right foot. Those injuries are going to make this look worse because those are two guys who can get into the lane. But Paul's not really that type of a player, never really has been, but especially as he ages, he's less of an attacker. And then without those two guys, you're left with a roster that just doesn't have a ton of it. And even Payne isn't really like an elite level version of that. So that's a roster flaw right now. And it's something that needs to be addressed. I think that's a need this team is realizing about itself, is maybe another one of those guys, or maybe you see if you get it in Moore, who Monty did say that despite shooting 1 of 6 and the lid still seems to be on the basket for him, was a real help getting into sets tonight. And so, you know, I think that it's multi-pronged. There are issues facing this team. Don't get me wrong. They're on a slide right now, and this loss doesn't, you know, just eliminate those problems. It shows, though, how you can overcome them. And a lot of that is, again, moving the ball, playing with good pace, even if that doesn't mean constantly hitting fast break, you know, dunks. It can mean that you're just, you know, confident, surefire, quick, efficient decisions that get you into the right sets and into the right situations. The other thing is that there are guys on this roster who can get to the basket and who can draw fouls, and we saw some of that tonight. Nader, who I mentioned, 6 of 15, he's part of that flurry in the fourth quarter that really puts this game away, gives the Suns a 20-plus point lead. Mikal Bridges, who I'm going to talk about in the next segment, he gets to the free throw line 8 times. Even Frank Kaminsky, who, you know, it can be a little bit clumsy under the basket, doesn't have the best touch, misses layups here and there, but he gets to the free throw line a bit. So it's just about focusing on overcoming some of those things, not getting too comfortable and not taking bad shots or getting out of rhythm or getting out of the scheme, because it works. And anyone who's watched these games for these past two seasons with Monty Williams as the coach understands that the scheme is the principle that actually does bring things together. What happens when they lose or when they can't get it together on offense is when players go outside of that. And the value of it, the brilliance of the idea behind the offense is that it doesn't constrict players or require specific things out of them. It is free-flowing and it does allow for players to, you know, do what they do within it. And so we're going to continue to see that. It's only going to get better when Devin Booker gets back on the floor here, but I don't think it's right to challenge the offensive system when things don't go well, because nights like this prove that it does work. if the players commit to it. All right. We're going to do a Jumbo Bridges breakout watch segment to close the show here because he had a great game, stepped up without Booker in the lineup, and pretty much was married to Steph Curry in terms of minutes all night long. The first time in his career that he's had to do that. So I'll dig into that in just a moment. But first, a message from our sponsor, Built Bar. The best protein bar ever. And my new favorite snack. The guys at Built Bar were generous enough to send us a new pack with some of these new flavors like lemon almond cheesecake and carrot cake and caramel brownie. But on top of that, I've made it a regular part of my routine. I try to work out 4 times a week. It can get a little hectic with Suns games and everything being in full swing again, but I love Built Bars, and they're perfect for any occasion. Sometimes it's just that nice pick-me-up after a workout, bite into that 100% chocolate soft shell, and get that protein back in my system. Sometimes it's nice when I don't eat enough during the day, and I can just pop one in to get a little bit more full. It's low calorie, but it's high protein, so it fills you up the right way. Great for anyone on just about any diet, whether it's keto or something simpler. And it's perfect for the health conscious person. Maybe you just don't like putting candy in your body, and this can be your substitute for that. Go to builtbar.com, try it out, use the promo code locked on, and you will get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code again, locked on, for 20% off at builtbar.com. Okay, here we are. Bridges breakout watch, my favorite, I have to admit. Closing segment bit here where I break down some of the stuff we don't have. DeAndre Ayton free throws, we probably don't want to dig into tonight too. That's the other one. How many free throws did DeAndre Ayton take is one of my favorite ones as well. Not the right time to dig into that. Dario Saric is not on the floor. I don't even remember the name of what I came up with for Saric. Please, at Locked On PHX Suns, remind me what I'm forgetting there. But he's not healthy either, so we're going to return to an old favorite, Mikal Bridges, who played 32 minutes tonight, scored 20 points, got those 5 assists, as I talked about with that two-man game, working pretty well with Frank Kaminsky. And I'll dig into some of the other playmaking we saw from Bridges tonight. But most importantly, most impressively, defended Steph Curry for the entire game. Going into this one, I was really worried. Obviously, we've seen Curry return to form in many ways this year. He's had a couple of games that he just single-handedly won. They were coming off a win against Minnesota that came pretty easily, so they weren't, you know, as tired as maybe the Suns were mentally or physically. And so I just thought Curry was going to be a handful. I thought we'd see maybe Javon Carter on Curry, just as somebody who has the energy to run through those screens. I thought Nader might even be an option with his length and quickness, but in the end, they went Bridges full-time on Curry. And, you live with the outcome, right? Like, Bridges was pretty disappointed in himself, all things considered, I think. They let Curry score 13 in the first quarter. He was making those pull-up threes. Even with Bridges fighting over the screen and Ayton stepping up to put a hand in his face, about as textbook defense on some of that as you could possibly want. And Curry was just nailing him. And, you know, there were a few times where Bridges got caught on a screen and didn't contest very much. And, you know, it's a hard job. And nobody's going to be just shutting Curry down. That's not what happens. He's a 2-time MVP, and he's one of the better players in the league this year. But Bridges did just enough to, I think, you know, make Curry second guess taking some of those. A lot of the threes actually later in the game ended up being off the ball, and some of their offense got a little bit out of flow because Curry wasn't able to operate with the ball in his hands so much. You know, we'll probably have to look back and see why that happened. But when you can keep Steph to 27, that's a job well done. And then you look at the offense, and what Mikal was able to do was, as I said, get to the free throw line, which was huge for this team tonight to balance out their offense with Booker still recovering from his hamstring injury. And I think you have to look at the assists. You know, Mikal said it's been since college that he had guys moving him off the line. You know, we've really thought of him as a spot up guy the past 2 seasons for the most part, but spot up in transition, I would say. But we're seeing him have to do a little more off the bounce recently because teams are making him put the ball on the floor. And he has that in his game, but you can tell it's a little methodical right now. He's relearning the mechanics of how to score in those ways. And I think tonight he just prioritized getting the ball moving. That was a big, big problem last night. Monty called the team out, as I went over on last night's show. And so I think Mikhail went into this game thinking, I got to be an engine as a playmaker. And again, it doesn't always look pretty because it's not something he's comfortable doing yet, but we saw him get into the teeth of the defense and dish it back out. That happened on the fast break a few times. He'd get in there, dish it to the corner for a shooter. We saw him do it off of those closeouts. I'm going to make a couple dribbles, get into the paint, get the ball back out. Monty loves the very cheesy coachism of paint to great, which is, I love that because it's just a little ridiculous. But Mikhail was emblematic of that. And so I think, you know, with that being the emphasis of the game plan on offense tonight, and with Bridges knowing he needed to, A, not get in foul trouble tonight, B, that he was going to have this very difficult matchup on Curry, and C, that he was probably going to have to also be scoring, I thought it was really impressive to see him have those five assists and, you know, make that an emphasis on his part too, even though that's not typically his role or something that he's required to do for this team. You really saw him set the tempo and set the expectation for his teammates by playing that way. So Bridges breakout watch, we are in full swing. This guy, you know, Jeff Van Gundy's calling him a most improved player candidate. He's getting features written about him on places like Basketball News. The world is watching Mikhail Bridges and appreciating what he does, but he continues to be probably the second or third best player on this team most nights, and somebody certainly worthy of all that praise. No games until Saturday, guys, and this closes out our week here on Locked On Suns. We will be back Monday with quarter grades. We are about a quarter of the way through the season. We will be after this Mavericks game on the weekend, and that means Brandon, a.k.a. Zona, and I are going to break down, give guys grades, break down each player's performance through the quarter point of the season and see how they rate out. I hope you'll join us then. Until that time, enjoy the Mavs game, enjoy your weekend, and let's see how this Suns team reacts.